I sure am glad the blood reaches deeper than the stain is gone. Praise the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Now, I've entitled this message, "The Church of Which I Must Be a Member." The church of which I must be a member. Now, Paul is giving this description of the church, and he says, "He hath put," verse 22, "He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness, the completeness of him that filleth all in all." Now, what a description of the church. More on what that means in a moment, but what we're doing right now is a divinely appointed supernatural thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18, when you come together in the church. And that's what we're doing right now. We're coming together in the church. The Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Do you know every time we meet together, the Lord promises his presence? And if he promises his presence, you know what? We have it. You know, coming to church is coming to be in his presence. And when I don't come, I'm not coming to a place where he is. This is a supernatural thing. The church, and organism, not an organization, not a building, but an organism, coming together to worship her head, her husband, her Lord, her master, her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming together to hear his word, coming together to sing his praises. Understand, the singing of these hymns is part of the worship of Christ. We're singing of him. Coming together to meet with his people. Coming together to call upon his name. Coming to church is necessary, isn't it? It's necessary. The church is no man-made institution. It's the church of the living God. It's not something even that had a beginning. You know, we read of the church in the wilderness before the New Testament ever came around. And the Lord says to every member of his church, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Now, if he knew me, I was. I don't understand that. But the church always has been in the mind and purpose of God. It always has been. He says, "Behold, I have loved you." Not "I will love you when you're existent," but "I have loved you with an everlasting love, a love that had no beginning. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Now, the Bible uses the word church in two ways. First, there's the local church, like this one, Todd's Road Grace Church. When those letters were addressed to the seven churches in Asia, they were local churches. There's the church of Corinth. There's the church at Colossae. There's the church at Ephesus. There's the church at Danville. There's the church in Cherokee. There's the church in Wheelersburg. There's the church in Ashland. There's the church in any local church, the church in Danville. Any local church, that's a called out assembly, a local, something you can see. Thank God for the local church. This is my family. It really is. Men and women who believe the gospel, who preach the gospel, who are saved by the gospel. You know, I don't believe somebody that has no interest in being a part of a local church really has any love for the Lord, because you can't love the Lord and not love his body, can you? And the church is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. But you know, in every local church, and you know this as well as I do, in every local church, you have a mixture of believers and unbelievers. The Lord told us it'd be that way. Sheep and goats, wheat and tares. And we're also commanded to not try to tear out the tares. The Lord says, don't do that, because here's what will happen. If I start trying to tear out the tares, I know who I'll tear up. I'll tear up the sheep. I just know it. We don't have enough sense to be able to do that. We're not trying to have a pure membership in that sense. The Lord knows them that are his. And we're satisfied with that. But we know that in every local church, they're wheat and tares. They're goats and sheep. They're saved and lost. That's the way it's always going to be. But the Bible also speaks of the church in this sense, the universal church or the Catholic church. Now, understand this. Catholic church, that has nothing to do with Roman Catholicism. Catholic means universal. The universal church, the church of God's elect, the church that Christ builds. I think of what the Lord said to his disciples. He said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, they put you in some pretty illustrious company. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist or one of the prophets. He said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter answered, thou art the Christ, God's anointed prophet, God's anointed priest, God's anointed king. You know, the grace of the Spirit that we're left with now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. The greatest of these is charity. You remember that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. That's the grace that's left with us. That's what we all have if we're believers. Faith, hope, and charity. Faith corresponds with him being the prophet. We believe his word. Hope corresponds with him being the priest. And we really believe, as our great high priest, he represents us and saves us. We believe God accepted his sacrifice. And love goes along with him being the king. We love him being the king, and we need him to be the king. We need him to rule and reign over us. We need him by his sovereign will to cause us to do his will. We need that, don't we? We love him as prophet, priest, and king. Thou, Peter said, art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord answered, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this confession of me, he says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now that's the church of which I must be a member. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same church that Paul spoke of in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, when he said, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. It's the same church of which Paul said in Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's the same church that Paul spoke of in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, when he says, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the same church the writer to the Hebrews spoke of when he spoke of the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. Now that's the church I must be a member of. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give you some things God's word says about this church. Ephesians 1, that passage we just read, the church is his body, the fullness, the completeness of him that filleth all things in all. Now, this hard thing to get hold of, but I believe because the Bible says it. Lord wouldn't be complete without me. That's hard to say, isn't it? But that's what he calls the church. I don't understand that. I just believe it because the Bible says it. The church is the fullness, the completeness of him that filleth all in all. Now, you ever look at your life and you think, man, my life's so vain. It's so meaningless. It's so useless. I just seem like I'm spinning my wheels all the time. Listen to me. If you're a believer, oh, what significance you have.
You're a part of His bride. You're a part of His body. A part of Him that filleth all things in all. And He wouldn't be complete without you. Now, do I understand that? No, because it seems like He can do just fine without me. I understand us thinking that way. But God's Word tells us that the church is the fullness, the completeness of Him that filleth all things in all. It's His body. It's His body. This is the body of Christ. Literally? Literally. The temple of the Holy Ghost. The habitation of God. That's what the church is called. What significance? The church is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, since you're already there in Ephesians. Look at this passage. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Do you remember what He said to Saul? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul couldn't get to the Lord, but when Saul persecuted any of his body, he was persecuting the Lord Himself. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul even calls the church the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, how in the world is the church the pillar and ground of the truth? I mean, you look at the church, really, it seems like a feeble bunch of people. Look at us. Look at us. We're weak. We're sinful. I could go on and on about a description of what we are. And yet, Paul calls the church the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, how is that? Through the church, we see the very character and nature and attributes of God, His goodness in saving a bunch like us. Is God good? We see His mercy. We see His sovereignty. He picked out His own bride. We see His justice. He made a way to be just and justify the ungodly. All of God's attributes are displayed in the salvation of the church. That's why God saves sinners, to glorify Himself, to make known who He is, to display who He is. The church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I love that song, glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. It's a blessed thing to be in the church. According to Revelation 2 verse 1, Christ walks in the midst of the churches. Now where can I find the person of Christ? Right here. In the midst of His people, where His church gathers together, and that gives us some idea of the importance of what we're doing. The Lord Jesus Christ is here, right now, in our midst, walking with His people. Are you a true church member? Do you belong to the true church? And I'm not asking you right now about a local church. You can have your name on the roll of a true local church and miss Christ altogether. And you can never be a member of a true local church and be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the thief on the cross wasn't a member of any local church, was he? But he was in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't he? And he was saved by the grace of God. Now, church means a called out assembly. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made of everybody that God calls. All of God's elect. All for whom Christ died. All that the God the Holy Spirit calls effectually. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. The religious fellows, they need something tangible that they can see that proves that God's in it. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and Christ the wisdom of God. Now this church, it's the ones God has called. He doesn't call everybody like this, does he? But to them which are called. This church is a church of which all of the members have the same marks. They're all new creatures in Christ Jesus, born of the Spirit of God. They all have repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They all love Christ and they all hate sin. That's why they hate themselves so bad. They all draw everything from one book, the Bible. And they're at complete agreement. They don't look to men for anything. They look to the Word of God alone. They really believe, everybody that's in this church, they really believe the Scriptures alone as our only rule of faith and practice. They really believe that. They really believe Christ alone as the only ground of their salvation and everything in their salvation. They really believe grace alone. They really believe salvation is what God does for them, not what they let God do. Not what they ask God to do, it's what God does for them. Salvation's of the Lord from the beginning to the end, from election to glorification and everything in between. Salvation is all utterly by the grace of God. Every one of our members believe that. I mean, there's complete agreement. Every one of them believe God's glory is the only motive that's any good. Every one of them believe that salvation comes through faith. Not by doing, but by believing. They're at complete agreement. They're truly one. They all believe that Christ is all. Now, this is a church that depends on no man. This church. It depends on no man. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm thankful for the Lord's under-shepherds. I'm thankful for a God-called pastor. Thankful for that. I was raised up in a church with a God-called pastor. And what a blessed privilege that is. Very few people get to be raised up like I was, hearing the gospel all my life. And I'm so thankful for that. But a God-called pastor is still just a weak, sinful, fallible man. You're looking at one. A weak, sinful, fallible man. Now, a church, a local church, thank God for a true under-shepherd. Thank God for that. But you know what? Generally speaking, the Lord raises up a man. I can't say this all the time, but generally speaking, the way the Lord works, He raises up a man. And when He's called out of people, that church just kind of disintegrates. It doesn't continue. It's rare for a church to get past one pastor. Now, some have, but for the most part, they don't. But in this church, it's not dependent upon a man. It's not dependent upon a charismatic personality. It needs no assistance from man. It needs no money. It needs no buildings. It needs no pulpits. It needs no act of favor from man in any way. This church is not dependent upon any man. This church is completely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the church of which I must be a member, where Christ is the head. It's not dependent upon any man. And this is the church of which all the promised blessings of the Bible really are. This is God's building. This is the body of Christ. This is the family of God. This is the church of the firstborn. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the one which is described as a chosen nation. a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. This is the habitation of God. This is the light of the world. This is the salt of the earth. This is that church of which the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the church militant, as the old writers called it, who battered down the gates of hell and captured God's people and bring them out. This is the church triumphant. This is the only church that possesses true unity. All of its members are at perfect agreement. You see, they have the same Savior. They have the same nature. They've been saved the same way. They have the same teacher. They all believe the same thing right down the line. There's no difference in what they believe. You take them that have never met each other, and you're going to find out they believe the same things. All over the world, all the members of this true church, they all have the same thoughts of God. They all have the same thoughts of themselves. They all have the same thoughts of the Savior. They're at perfect unity. Not a thread of disagreement. Perfect agreement in this church. It's the church that is truly Catholic, universal, made of men and women from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. They're all one in Christ Jesus. This is the only truly apostolic church. Now, the Lord gave the apostles. You think of the apostles. We learn the gospel. The first person I think of is the Apostle Paul. Remember, he said, "I'm a wise master builder." The Lord made him that way, and he expounded the gospel for us. The Lord took him up into the third heavens. He was taught the gospel. He said, "The gospel which was preached of me was not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of the Lord." That's how he learned the gospel. And we're so dependent on the apostles. But every church claims to be an apostolic church. But this church is. It's truly founded on the doctrine of the apostles and the fellowship of the apostles. It does not acknowledge anything else except apostolic doctrine. This is the church in which all of its members endure to the end. Now, I got to thinking about this. We've been at this for 27 years here. We started this church in 1982. All the people that have come and gone. I mean, there's people that were here quite a while, but they left. Where are they now? I mean, there's been so many people come and go. Bright, like a comet. Boy, everybody's impressed with them, but where are they now? Come and go. Come and go. But in this church, everybody endures all the way to the end. You may persecute them, you may imprison them, you may beat them, you may behead them, you may burn them at the stake, but they still endure. No matter how much Satan and the world have sought to extinguish this church, it can't be done. This is an anvil that breaks every hammer that knocks against it. The church of the living God. It's the only church where no member can perish. They're eternally secure. You see, they were elected by the Father. When God the Father willed their salvation, saved they are. Not they will be, but they are. Oh, the will of God is so supreme. When He wills it, it's done. This is the church where Christ paid for all their sins. They don't have any sins. Truly, the blood has gone deeper than the stain. This is the church where all of its members are holy. Holy, given a holy nature. Every member, not holy in word, not holy by profession, but holy in actuality. A holy nation. Holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, all the members of this church are holy. They've all been given this nature from the Holy Spirit. This is the church which does the work of Christ upon the earth. You know, it may appear weak and without a whole lot of influence, but it is through the church that the living God acts. It's through her prayers that He does what He does. It's through her preaching that He calls out His people. The church is the light of the world. That's what the Lord calls it. He said, "You're the light of the world." The church is that candle that's not set under a bushel. It's the light of the world. It's the city on a hill. It's the salt of the earth. It spreads the gospel net. This is what gospel preaching is. It's spreading the gospel net. Don Fortner told me this week about he was hearing a preacher, and I thought this was so good. He heard him somewhere in St. Louis, but he said gospel preaching is like spreading the net. And this is true gospel preaching. Now, spreading the net for fishing. There's two ways to fish. You can cast a hook into the sea, but you know, that's not the way gospel preaching works, because you've got to bait the hook. It's deceitful. That's what bait is. You're trying to trick the fish. Now, that's what most religion is. It's trying to trick people into something. But in true gospel preaching, you're not trying to bait anything. You're not trying to trick them into doing anything. You're just throwing out the net and bringing them in. And that's the kingdom of heaven is compared to a great net that brought in all these fish. That's what the church does. We preach the gospel. We put out the net. We don't try to deceive anybody. We don't try to trick anybody. We don't try to bring the truth in the back door. We don't try to give somebody else some bait first to get them in. No, we preach the gospel. And we look to the Lord to take care of the results. That is what the Lord does. He works through the church. And this is the church that will be truly glorious at the end. The bride adorned in the wedding garment, perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. Now, all these institutions that we see, the government, the kingdoms, religion, all the stuff we see, everything we're around, you know, it's all going to be gone. It's all going to be dissolved. But you know what's going to be eternal? The church of the living God, His body, His bride. Oh, truly, it's going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's when the Lord parades His church. Now, I love thinking about this. I am. A lot of things I am. You too. But one of the things I am, I'm a trophy of His grace. When I'm brought into heaven, there will be no doubt that this is the work of Christ alone. No credit to Todd at all. He was a gift. No, I'm a trophy of grace. Every believer is a trophy of grace. And we're going to be seen as we really are, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's what the bride of Christ is. This is the church of which a man must belong if he would be saved. Now, this is an invisible church. Can't see it right now. It's invisible. You can't go to a place and say, this is where it's at. It's an invisible church. It's made of all of God's elect, all of God's people from all ages. Now, how can I know if I'm a member of this invisible church? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. If you're somebody who right now, the only hope that you have is the righteousness and merits of Jesus Christ as your righteousness before God. If you're somebody who the only hope you have is that Christ actually put away your sins, and He's all you'll plea. You won't plea anything else but Him and Him alone. You look to Him as everything in your salvation. You really believe that. You really believe that He is the way. You really believe that He is the truth. You really believe that He is the life. He's your way to God. He's the truth of God. He's your life. His life is your life. And you don't look anywhere else. Now, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You find me anybody who believes the gospel, and I'll find you somebody that's in this church, the church of the living God, the church of which I must be a member. Let's pray.